Welcome to episode 543 of Salcedo Paranormal, and tonight I am finishing my review of the novel Dracula. As always, you can find all episodes of the show along with links to social media and other ways to contact me and the podcast page, and that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord or if you listen to the podcast or YouTube feeds or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. As always, I want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, as well as Liam Martin, host of the Exiled Minds podcast, for producing these shows and putting them up on the station, along with the music that you hear there at the beginning and end of every episode. If you'd like to help the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can also find books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction, over on Amazon. You can sign up for the Patreon page at any paid membership tier level to get one extra True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode every month. And you can also make one-time donations to the podcast through PayPal. And help is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in doing these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. So I think that takes care of everything. The last episode I did, it was the beginning of this review of Bram Stoker's Dracula, the novel. I really just did a very brief summary of the book because I really want to leave it for most people to check out if you haven't already. But I'm going to go over a few things tonight here. So I found Stephen King's book, Salem's Lot, before I ever found Dracula. But then it turns out I read something. I might have been like a foreword or an afterword in some version of that book, where King talked about how, of course, Dracula was an inspiration for King, for his and for this book that he wrote, Salem's Lot. And so it took me a long time. I tried reading it back when I was in middle school, Dracula, that is. And I could not get into the, I could not get used to the writing style because, again, it's I think it's a epistolary format, which means it's a book made up of, and it's fiction, but it's all made up of journal entries and letters and newspaper clippings from all the different characters in that book. So, but anyway, so I eventually did, just recently, a couple weeks ago, finish listening to the audiobook version of Dracula. And of course, I'd already read and listened to Stephen King's Salem's Lot a few times over the years. I really, for a long time, that was one of my favorite books overall. And I still like it a lot just because of how well I think it's done. But so when I started thinking about that, and I started noticing different parallels between some of the characters and some of the plot between the two books, then that would be Dracula and Salem's Lot. And so I'd really been thinking about doing a show sort of to cover that intersection of sort of different time periods and different ways of doing a novel about that involved vampires. And so I got a little bit of an outline thanks to an AI earlier today, And I'm going to just go over that. And it's really just a compare and contrast overview of those two books, of Bram Stoker's Dracula and Stephen King's Salem's Lot. So that's the plan for this episode here. And I'm not going to cover everything because I do want people to read those books if you haven't already. So there will be some spoilers, but again, I'm not going to cover all the plot points or all the characters in either of those books. So I'm just going really with the text that I got back from the AI, just so that I don't spoil everything. That's sort of the whole reason for doing it this way, so that you can all still check out the books, which I really recommend, and still be surprised by a lot of the things in those books. So in terms of the plot, the similarities, we'll start with that. Both novels feature vampires as the main supernatural threat or antagonist. And of course, vampires, by that I mean undead, I believe that the term is, but still somehow animated, living, conscious beings that were formerly regular humans that through, I believe it is being bitten and or other ways, I think it varies from folklore to folklore, become vampires. And so now that's basically the idea behind these beings. And the main thing that they do, that they live on, so to speak, is blood. So, and from people. So that's the big thing right there. These are horror novels. So, but again, so that's the main threats there are vampires. Also in both stories, there is an ancient, powerful vampire that comes to a new location and begins turning local people into vampires to become more powerful and more influential in that area. So also in both books, the protagonists must uncover the truth about the vampire threat and find a way to stop the spread of vampirism before it's too late. Of course, it mentions there are religious overtones in both books, in that some of the items of the, I believe, Catholic, if not then Christian, religions, some of those items and symbols can be used as weapons against vampires. So also both have scenes of the vampires seducing and feeding on victims. So that's basically just the plot summaries, the plot similarities there between those two books. And so now I can get to the differences. And so let me see here. Let me get back to the file. So as far as the way the books are different, other than obviously being from two different time periods, let me see here. So, of course, that's the first thing the summary goes to here. Dracula is set in the late 19th century. And that, of course, that's the 1800s. So not quite 1900. Primarily in Transylvania and in England. And then, of course, but in Salem's Lot, that book takes place in the 1970s in a small town in Maine in the U.S. Another difference here is Dracula is, the novel is an epistolary novel. Again, I already described that, told through letters, journal entries, newspaper clippings, and other documents. But of course, Salem's Lot uses a more conventional third-person narrative structure, and that's where the you're hearing it. You're it's basically a story. There's a narrator, unknown narrator, that's telling the story, that knows everything, and so that's how that goes. Another difference here: Count Dracula is an old world aristocratic vampire from Transylvania. Whereas Kurt Barlow, who's the main antagonist in Salem's Lot, he has a more modern American businessman persona. Now, in the novel, and this is not in the outline, but this is just a memory of mine, it doesn't say that he's from the U.S., Barlow, I mean. So he's still sort of not familiar with all the customs of the land that he's moving into. So again, back to the outline here, the main protagonists are quite different. Dracula has Van Helsing, who is a doctor and also lawyer and vampire hunter. So he's already been known about these creatures for a while before even getting into the novel itself. Jonathan Harker is a solicitor, sort of like a clerk or a business associate. Also, I think somewhat of a, if not a lawyer, then definitely knows how about laws and everything and business and all those things. Let's see here. So, let's see, I think that's basically it for that. But in Salem's Lot, it focuses on Ben Mears, who is a writer, returning to a town where he grew up and spent some years in as a child. So, different feels definitely for both of those books. Another difference here, Salem's Lot goes into more detail on the mechanics of vampirism spreading through the town and has a wider cast of townspeople that are characters in the story. And that is a typical King trait of a book, is he doesn't just have one or two or even three main characters or even just prominent characters. He has several in a lot of his books, which some people enjoy that, other people don't. I do enjoy that. Whereas Dracula is more focused on a core group fighting Dracula himself. And of course, there are about four, five, six characters involved in that story. But again, there's hardly anyone else that's really prominent in Dracula. That's other than Dracula and then the people that are sort of trying to fight against him. So, and the endings are also different, but there I will leave that that part. I won't read that part just because I want everyone to check out those books for yourselves. So that's just on the characters in those two books. The plot, the general plot in those two books. So now getting to some of the characters here. And again, this is only a few from each book. So at first I was kind of annoyed because I was thinking of other characters in Salem's Lot that the summary doesn't mention. But I'm actually really glad now that it doesn't cover every main character, because again, that way you can still check out these books and still be surprised by them. So in terms of the characters, some of the characters from each book, it starts out mentioning some of the characters in Dracula, and of course the main character, the title character is Dracula, Count Dracula, an ancient Transylvanian vampire who seeks to expand his influence and power by moving to England. He is charming, intelligent, and ruthless. And you can see that in Dracula, in the book, where in the beginning, Jonathan Harker notices that Dracula has been studying England for some time before ever even deciding to make a move to go there. So, and he's very calculating in that way as well. Professor Abraham Van Helsing. That is another character there. And he is a Dutch doctor, lawyer, and professor who becomes a vampire hunter. He is wise, experienced, and all those things, and dedicated to stopping Dracula. And again, this is something I would love to know. I mean, if there's a, I don't know, I haven't looked into if there's any other notes from Bram Stoker about these characters that didn't make it into the book or not, but I would love to know exactly how Van Helsing was aware of vampires before even getting into the main story of the novel of that he's in Dracula there. So, but again, you have to start a book somewhere. You can't start from the very beginning of anything, because there's still going to be other things that are ongoing. So, next character it mentions here is Jonathan Harker. He's a young English solicitor who visits Dracula's castle and becomes one of the first to discover Dracula's true nature. He is brave, loyal, and determined. So he is the one that starts out the book, really. It's his journals that talk about his time in the castle with the Count and how everything proceeds from that. Of course, the last character that they mention here in this summary is Mina Murray, but then also she becomes Mina Harker in the story, in the book. Jonathan's fiance and later wife, who becomes a target of Dracula, but she is intelligent, resourceful, and plays a crucial role in defeating the vampire. So those are the main characters that this summary focuses on for Dracula. Now, moving on to Salem's Lot. The first one it mentions here is Ben Mears, a successful writer who returns to his childhood home in Jerusalem's Lot, which, of course, that's the technical name of the town, but everyone in that area just calls it Salem's Lot or just the Lot. But he returns to that area to write a book about the Marston House, which is a place that is really important to the story for various reasons. He becomes the leader in a fight against the vampires. Ben is haunted by his past, but he is also courageous and determined. The next character mentions here is Kurt Barlow. This is the main vampire antagonist, a master vampire who arrives in town to spread his influence. He's powerful, terrifying, and manipulative. And the last character I think it mentioned, oh no, there's two more here. It mentions. Next one here is Father Donald Callahan. Now he comes up again in other books in King's in King's library collection of stories that he's written. But in this is his start. This is where Father Callahan gets his start. He's a Catholic priest who aids Ben in the fight against Barlow. He struggles with his faith and also alcoholism, but ultimately shows bravery. So, let's see here. And the last character they mention in Salem's Lot is Susan Norton, a young woman who becomes romantically involved with Ben Mears. She is kind, intelligent, and helps Ben in his investigations. And so that's as far as I'll read there. So now with the comparisons, I think I can finish this off here. Yeah. Okay. So, comparison. As far as similarities here, both stories have a powerful ancient vampire as the main antagonist, which is, of course, that's Dracula and then Kurt Barlow. Next one here, it mentions that the main human protagonists, which would be Jonathan Harker and Ben Mears, are both drawn into the fight against the vampires and show bravery and determination. Van Helsing and Father Callahan serve as knowledgeable religious figures who guide the fight against the vampires. So those are some of the similarities between the characters and their roles in these books. Between those two books there, the similarities. In general, in sort of more of the roles of how they act in the books, than necessarily professions or anything like that. But anyway, the differences here: Dracula is more of a singular villain, while Kurt Barlow, although powerful, is not the sole force of focus. I'm sorry. There we go. Of the narrative in Salem's Lot, and that is because in part, Barlow is perfectly willing to basically convert the whole town into vampires. So that's a major thing there that happens in that story. Mina Harker, I was reading ahead, plays a more active role in the fight against Dracula, while Susan Norton does not get to do that in Salem's Lot, even though she does attempt to. The characters in Dracula are more rooted in their specific societal roles, as in doctor, lawyer, aristocrat, while the characters in Salem's Lot are more everyday small town people. So that's really the big the rest of the summary there overall. And so there's other characters again that I didn't mention. I think there's another character in Salem's Lot, Matt Burke, who is sort of, I thought of him originally as, and he's even referred to in the book. There's one point where the book Dracula is mentioned in the in Salem's Lot, and Matt Burke is also compared to Van Helsing. So that is a point in the story you'll find when you get further into it. There's other characters again, but I don't really need to go into that. But I definitely recommend both books if you're into vampires, especially. That's not really my favorite thing to read about. I'm not as into the whole vampire thing. But both books were done well in terms of the story and the characters and everything. I think I kind of was more interested in the characters in Salem's Lot just because with Dracula, that was written in a different time period. And so there were definitely the way things were different back then, I guess you could say, in different ways. So yeah, I definitely recommend both of those books. Father Callahan, like I said, you may, if you've listened to the show from near the beginning, you may remember his name from my my reviews of the Dark Tower series. And that is, he is one of those characters that sort of, he starts off in the book Salem's Lot and ends up in the world or the worlds of the Dark Tower series. So, and even in that story, he finds a similar version. Basically, he finds the book Salem's Lot as a fictional book within a book of the Dark Tower series, and starts reading about himself and what he did in Salem's Lot. And he ended up having to flee the area, so he doesn't know how anyone could know what happened there, and down to his thoughts while he was there, and all those details that he thought were basically only known to the people that went through that whole experience in that book. So I want to make sure I connected that for anyone that has listened to previous shows. And so yeah, that's going to do it for Dracula. Next book review I will do will be Frankenstein. I'll probably give that one two shows as well. For those that were here last weekend, last Saturday, I tried to record some shows and I didn't realize they didn't record. So I ended up doing a review of Dracula in one episode and of Frankenstein in one episode. And then those shows did not get recorded. And I felt like those book reviews were a little bit too compact, too tight. And so I think it'll work out okay. I can save Frankenstein for the next couple book review shows. And then we might probably get into some of the larger, older books on magic throughout time. And that's going to be, I'm looking forward to that because it is an area just in general that I don't know as much about. So, but that's it for today. Thank you all for listening. And I will talk to you all in the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.